This is the Amateur Skeptics Podcast, number 311. I'm your host, Brian. Joining me this evening is Mad Cat.
Hello, hello.
And the dumbass himself.
Am I hardly working? No, I'm working hard.
Yeah, we're down to just three of us this week. Mac is under the weather, so we're gonna have to hold down the fort here. Put together some masturbating.
And more so.
I don't know how we'll do without him, but we'll soldier on.
Anything we got going on? Yep.
Anything going on? Well, we had an election.
Oh, you did?
Yep. For Alberta.
How'd it go?
Didn't get the ones I wanted, but... Oh, and I told you about us looking at this townhouse.
Yes.
And we got it.
Oh, good. So you're moving again.
Yeah. Congratulations.
We're going to be moving. Thank you. It will be nicer to have to pay less money, especially after last year's changes and everything.
So is it what, you, your husband?
Me, my husband, my sister, and our other roommate who did not die.
Okay.
So, and he's been paying the extra for that, so we owe him a fair amount of money since Arla passed, so.
Oh, wow, that's okay. Well, it's good that he's able to
do that.
Well,
we've had a lease, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you have a lease, you got to pay it.
And yeah, so it worked out.
Good.
Now, anyway.
All right, well, I guess. What time
and moving
is it?
Right along.
All right.
To Ian and Dumbass's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.
This is coming from the HuffPo.
Yep.
This is how much time we spend masturbating at work. Now, is this like figuratively, you know, masturbating or actually?
Well, the thing is actually masturbating.
Okay.
We do not deal as much in what was the term you used?
Figurative. Yeah, figurative masturbation.
Figurative, yes. Yeah. Figurative masturbation.
Okay.
In the masturbation moment. this is a... I didn't look at the research, but I am assuming it's a survey because the alternative would be that they planted cameras in the washrooms at work to catch people masturbating. And that's what happened.
Let's hope.
Well, I don't think they're allowed to do stuff like that anymore.
Well, have you seen his OnlyFans content? Hmm? Just saying.
No, I'm not allowed in his OnlyFans content. Yeah.
That's probably for the best.
Probably.
But anyway, the survey came up. This is in the UK, of course. And it came up with a number of different results that we are going to go through and giggle over.
Excellent.
So most likely to masturbate during work hours are the 25 to 34-year-olds. Married people apparently masturbate more than single people masturbate on average three times a week. People only once per
And is there any reason or rhyme for that? Did they say why they think that might be?
Getting ready or thinking of your loved one? Hey, baby, can't wait for you.
Are they having more sex?
It doesn't go as much into possible reasons here, but we can certainly theorize over them. I'm guessing that part of this might have to do with just the reporting factor and how willing people are to report masturbation, depending on their age.
Yeah. Well, also, married people probably... Does that explain why?
Married people spend longer pleasuring themselves, 38 minutes on average.
They do, huh?
Yeah. So it's interesting. Married people... are at least apparently more comfortable in their sexuality, in either way you interpret.
Well, that's because there's large room for two.
Well, wait, when they say masturbating per week, is this specifically masturbating at work per week?
Let's see. Yep. I believe, yeah, it is at work per week.
Okay, so married people are more are masturbating more at work and spending more time doing it.
Maybe it might be because they're not getting enough as much privacy at home, so
sure.
That makes...
Yeah, that does...
this is part of the thing that I wanted to criticize, but I don't like because... I hate when they place numbers through it. It says this is costing businesses an estimated 154 million euros per week as they're paying staff who are mastered on company time, which is such a nickel and dime way of trying to cost analysis, you know, what people are doing, like every moment not spend at the computer typing away in a busy frenzy is moment wasted that's costing employers money, you know?
Certainly. I mean, there is a reasonable amount of time talking. But I'll tell you what the difference is for me, the difference that I see and what this doesn't tell us, are these hourly employees or are they salaried? Because somebody like me, exempt employee, it doesn't matter if I put in 40 hours or 50 hours and I'm closer to the 50-hour end of things. Right? I don't get paid extra. So if I spend a little extra time socializing in a day, it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm already putting in more hours than I'm expected. So I don't feel bad about that. And so this doesn't tell us if that's a factor, because if, in fact, these are exempt employees, and certainly a certain amount of them are, it's probably not costing the business anything, right?
They're usually kept on afterwards anyway.
Only if they're an hourly employee is there an actual dollar amount that you're going to be able to pin to something. And they're spending just as much time talking to coworkers and socializing, which I think even though that's not time, then they're actually producing something. It's a good mental health thing for, right?
That's right. It follows that up by saying 33% in the study said that masturbating during work hours helped them to relieve stress. 24% said it enhances, and 9% said that masturbation increases their concentration.
Yeah. And I believe that, right? I mean, you know, I mean that is reasonable. And so sometimes it's not the amount of time, the quality of time. And these kinds of studies never account for
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also, like, it's wrong to just, like, be like, every moment not, you know, at your job is a moment costing your employee. Like, unless you're, like, on a factory line where, you know, like, you're, but even then, you should have breaks and stuff, right?
You would hope. I bet you those people are not getting it. I mean, that, unfortunately, those kinds of factory line stuff, like, and look at, like, what Amazon is. I mean, these people that are spending, you know, 38 minutes, you know, masturbating are not working for Amazon because they're nickeling.
Well, you get that kind of things in restaurants and such as well. You have a flurry of customers come in, and there goes your break.
Right,
there goes your life. You don't have it.
What this doesn't tell me is what kind of jobs the people they say are doing. These are probably not factory workers. They're probably not people working, you know, in restaurants. These are probably office, right?
Yeah.
Probably,
I mean, I'd imagine so.
At the desks and such.
And so I'm not so sure. I mean, I would
contest. Like, yeah, you could also make a workout in number for how much people going and getting a drink of water at the water cooler and standing and chatting with people is costing company. You could make a bunch of stuff like that.
Well, and I think that they have showed that companies that go to 4-day work week are still just as much as when they had a 5, but people are wasting less time.
And there is a factor of, like, work tends to shrink or grow to accommodate the length of time people have available and what they're working on. So, like... you know, to a certain extent anyway, projects do tend to get done at the time, no matter, like, how hard you crack the whip and, you know, work your employees.
Well, with cracking the whip and such, you know, it gets to be a little bit troublesome. I mean, there was a company up here that they had a coin thing on the washrooms.
Wow.
So, you know, the employees were, one, not allowed to go to the washroom unless it was their break, and were being charged for going to the washroom as well.
So I promise you that if they were to do that in a restaurant, the result would be employees would not be working. And that's probably the result these other companies that you're talking about. So there's a cleanliness issue there. And
well, that was a company that was mostly people at desks.
Okay, but still,
there's a cleanliness issue there because they're not allowing whatever. And then
that's
it wasn't until a woman who was pregnant stepped up against them that it was all stopped and everything.
Yeah, that,
that's insane.
Yeah, it,
I wouldn't shake anybody's hands at that company. If they had to pay for the washroom, you know, it's like...
There's this unfortunate attitude in a lot of companies to treat their employees like children.
Not only like children, but like mules.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like, yeah, but they're not allowed to be in charge of their own thing. Like, I think even treating children that way is silly. Making children have to ask in order to go to the washroom in school is like... so stupid. It's like, you know, let them go to the washroom.
Yep. And a pharmaceutical CEO, chemical for you, says we don't condone being at work while they're being paid to work. Many 7.5 billion Britons admitted to doing so have shared positive outcomes of pleasuring while on the
listen, and you know, some people take a break to play solitaire or something. It's like,
oh, do you take a, you're supposed to take a break to do that? Oh well, yep. But people are masturbating at work. It doesn't surprise me. I am surprised by the 38 minutes.
I mean, and it just goes to show you, like we reported on it earlier, but those masturbation pods just aren't catching on.
That is unfortunate. Well, and what the we reported on the company that was encouraging people to masturbate.
Yeah, exactly.
I think
all unions should be demanding masturbation pods at whatever jobs they work at.
We had talked about that one before.
Yeah, we all right. Well, I guess it's time to talk about margarita burn.
Yeah.
And I have my margarita here.
Well, what exactly it is that apparently there are some items that cause a burning sensation on you. And apparently this lady, Rihanna Benzak's infant had developed, this is going to be fun, phytophotodermatitis, and that's triggered by limes, carrots, peppers, celeries, things like that, and it creates a nasty burn. Rihanna was going to give her 7-month-old a celery stalk, thought it was safe, so she gave her child a celery stalk to nibble on, and they enjoyed the sun in the spring. But she never expected that it would cause burns and blisters around the baby's mouth, result of compounds found in certain foods that come into contact with sunlight.
Kind of crazy.
Yep. These specific items, if they're out in the sun, it will burn you because of she...
So depending on if you have certain like genetic markers or something?
No, this is a factor of the fruit.
Oh, so like... this could happen to anybody.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah.
There was they had a name.
Yeah, that another name for it is the margarita burns.
Well, it's
phytophotodermatitis.
So, like, don't nibble on celery out in the sunlight, I guess.
And don't nibble on limes, don't nibble on...
So, it does say that are more sensitive to UV light. So, there does look like there might be some people are going to be... Obviously, people are going to be more receptive, more likely for this to happen than...
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not going to be everybody.
No. And it depends on how long you're out there chewing on it and how long it's been out in the sun and how much exposure it has had to the UVA rays.
Now, this dermatologist has said that 99% of the cases she has seen are from lime, that she'd never seen one from lemons, but other people have claimed that there is such a thing as lemon juice.
Probably. It's in the same line as limes.
But it said celery. It also said guacamole, and I'm wondering if guacamole, mojitos, or chicken marinades, but all of those probably have lime in them.
Usually, the guacamole would be made out of...
avocados?
Avocado, that's it.
Yeah.
Avocado.
But the avocado, is it the avocado, or would it be the fact that the avocado, the guacamole, might have lime in it, or lemon? You could use
that
either.
That is possible.
Mojito is going to be lemon or lime, and a chicken marinade is probably going to have a citrus, and that's probably going to be a lemon or lime. It makes me wonder if
and
it could be any citrus.
And parsnips.
Yeah. I mean, could it be celery? I mean, celery, is it, but I don't know. What's common between celery and lime?
Yeah, it's a fruit.
So, are we saying that I should stop slathering my body in guacamole and running around naked in the lawn?
Nope. Not Excellent. Saying that at all. By all means, not that you should continue to do you at work.
I'm for it.
And if you develop rashes, don't show us.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on.
What if I want to see those rashes?
If you want to see those rashes, you go on and see those rashes.
But that is interesting. I've never seen that. I've never heard of that before. I would have expected it to be, you know, citric acid be the culprit here, but not in celery.
Not in celery. But I never heard of getting burned by food like that, but I would be surprised.
These photos of this baby are awful.
They cannot
be comfortable.
No. And
but I guess this kind of also looks like hoof mouth. Are they sure that this wasn't just hoof mouth disease? Because these pictures very look. I mean, if I saw that, my I would go, oh well, it's hoof mouth disease.
Yeah, I mean, I assume somebody knows who was there.
Apparently, I mean, it must have been a dermatologist. But these now the ones on. Maybe not so much, but the ones up top, to me, that looks, I don't know. I guess, obviously, a dermatologist.
Yeah, their type of burn can, but 7 days.
Pretty blotchy after 7 days, but you can tell the kids are starting to smile.
Yeah, poor little one.
Poor guy.
Man.
Oh, man. Terrible. Here, let's move on. All right, I got the link. So I'm going to talk about the Elizabeth Holmes. So you guys say you don't remember this story. who Elizabeth Holmes is?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
I think I remember the name, but I don't remember anything about it.
So Elizabeth Holmes is the founder of a company called Theranos, which is a combination of the words therapy, Theranos.
Therapy and
Thanos.
No.
Therapy.
Anyway, so it was a blood testing company. And what she was saying that she could do is she had this box, and the original one was called an egg. And the story that she gave was that, you know, she didn't like to have her blood drawn. And so she wanted to come up with a technology where you could just prick your finger, and with 3 drops of blood, you'd be able to do all the blood tests instead of, you know, having it, Anyway, the way that most people go, I mean, you've probably had blood drawn, you know, from a vein in your arm several times. And she didn't like this. And she told us a story about, I think, about a relative and yada, yada. So she came up with this idea to come up with this system where she could do this. And I mean, and early on, she was told by some people at her school that this is not possible. But she ultimately drops out of and starts this company, Theranos. She is able to raise money to do this thing, and she gets a bunch of people on board, and they build this device that never worked. It has a slew of problems. That's important because ultimately she's collecting money, and she gets money from Safeway and CVS. I think it's CVS. No, it's not CVS. Walgreens. And CVS had invested in something else, and Walgreens had missed the boat, and so they were looking for something to jump. So they give her millions of dollars, right? And then she's able to get money from George Shultz, who was he was Secretary General, I believe, of the U.S. at one point. So he was a big enough name, I think that they were family friends with something like that. So she convinces a lot of people to give her money, and she puts a board together of high profile people. General, I believe, is on that list. There's another general that was famous from the Gulf War. And so she puts together she's done it by creating this personality for herself. So she's imagined herself after jobs. She wears black turtleneck. She talks in a deep voice, and she has this frizzy hair and has this way, the way she looks at the ground, looks at, and she's created this personality. And ultimately it all comes tumbling down, right? There's whistleblowers, and she ends up on being prosecuted, and she is convicted of, I think it was, there's 11, 6 of 12 counts, 6 of 13 counts. Anyway, she's convicted on somewhere around half the charges. Most of them come down to wire fraud and defrauding. Unfortunately, none of them are for the actual people that she hurt with this product, right? The actual consumers that got their blood tested. And one woman thought she was having a miscarriage, and other people thought that, you know, that they had blood work out of whack.
She was allowed to do actual, like, patient work on patients without having proved this blood testing first?
Yeah. She gave the impression to people that this thing had been approved by the FDA. Never had. And that's part of the fraud, right? So she she sold this story, right? And ultimately, she was able to do some testing, and Walmart was trying to create these centers, and Safeway was trying to create these wellness centers where you would come in and get, you know, your blood tested with this machine. And of course, it was all done there by this machine. This machine was a lab in a box. And they said that it could do, at one point it was, you know, the first machine was 200 tests, and that's what she called the Edison. And then there was another machine that supposedly did thousands of tests, and ultimately it couldn't even do one test properly, was what it comes down to. So she's convicted, she's going to jail. And there was another gentleman by the name of, he goes by Sonny Balwani. I forget what his, okay. Sonny is not his real name. Doesn't matter. He's convicted of all 13 charges. So she's convicted of half. He's convicted of all of them. So he's sentenced to 13 years in federal prison, and she's convicted. She's sentenced to 11 years in federal prison. And I was thinking about that the other day because I was thinking she was convicted on half the charges. I think that with these charges, you probably get to serve them concurrently. So it kind of doesn't matter at some point how many charges there are. They don't stack on top of each other, because otherwise they would both probably be in prison for the rest of them. So I think that, I'm not positive on that. A lawyer that understood all the federal sentencing guidelines would be able to tell you. But I do think that, there was somebody recently who they said that they could get 22 years in jail. And I was listening to the Opening Arguments podcast, and he went through the sentencing guidelines, and he's like, really, it's more like 2 to 3. Because the charges are all served concurrently. They don't stack. So even though it's less charges, it's still the same amount of time. So ultimately, it probably matters because of restitution, things like that. I don't know. Either way, they're going to jail for a reasonable amount of time. Only she's been trying to fight it. Sonny Balwani has, in April, early April, has already turned himself in, and she's been trying to fight it. And what she did. So the aftermath of this is she's found guilty. She's going to jail, but she's been trying to. She's appealing it. And at one point, the judge told her, "Listen, your appeal is very unlikely. You're going to prison." And then they said, "Well, okay, well." Now then they let her wait, and then they went back to the judge again, and the judge said, "Nope. You're going to prison." But in the meantime, in the years, because I think that the first indictment came down in 2016, so it took quite a few years. Because I think that the trial started and it was put off by COVID.
Right.
She gets married to a gentleman who is an heir for a hotel chain, and she has one child before the trial begins, and so right before the trial begins, and so she's nursing during this. And I think that this is me being cynical, but I think that a lot of this was to try and, you know, garner sympathy for this mother, right?
Mm-hmm.
And after convicted, she gives birth to a second. So now there's two kids. The other child is And she's changed her image. Her hair, it looks nice now, right? Instead of being the frizzy thing, she's got product in. She doesn't talk in the high voice anymore, right? Now she talks in a regular voice. And she wants, and she's trying to put her past behind her, and she wants to be known as Liz. So this woman is rebranding herself, right? She's trying to create this other image now. And earlier this year, an article came out from New York Times. The person who did it is a writer, a field reporter, but somebody who sells their article. New York Times bought this. And in the article, they follow her around this, and she's talking to her. And in the article, it says at some point, you know, that she realizes she's talking. There's two different people here. There's the Theranos, the person who ran this company, and this is a mother. And she turns to this all, and she goes and she talks to her editor about it. And the editor's like, "You got rolled," right? These are two sides of a con artist, right? she created this other, you know, persona. This is also a created persona. And she's like, no, I really believe that, you know, and the editor's like, yeah, right. You have totally gotten swindled here. So she had to go back and take another look at it. And ultimately she, you know, there's an update to the article. Okay. She got taken because it didn't come off well, because I was not the only one yelling at this article going, you are talking to a con artist. Right. And that was the major response to. But to me, so now she's finally reported to jail on the 31st. So she I believe that she's in Bryan, Texas, and she's in a fit. She's a club fit. And of course, you know, there's been tons of articles about how her life is. Ultimately, you look at the things that she did to her employees, micromanaging the cameras that she was watching. She would do things like, you know, to keep employees there. She would feed them dinner every night, but dinner would not arrive till 8 o'clock. So people weren't leaving till 10 o'clock, and of course they're expected to be back then. So she would do these manipulative things, people working. And of course the comparison is made to, you know, her being in federal prison where her time will be micromanaged, right? So I've been following the story for a long time, and it just did her this rebranding thing.
I'm glad you're mad.
Ultimately people didn't fall for it, which I am so thankful for. It didn't come across as you know, as this new persona being real. People really just thought, here's the con artist. And as a result of that article, the paparazzi followed her to the zoo and everything that she did, you know, constantly. So, I mean, so it can't be a, you know, I mean, she's being followed around by, you know, by reporters and stuff that are trying to get a glimpse and to report on what she's doing now. But now she's in jail. And the first pictures of her in prison of her khaki. I just found it really interesting.
Let's see what
you know,
she's wearing there.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm clicking as much as anybody, I guess, because it's the rebranding that just gets me. The con artists are fascinating in a lot of ways, and she is a con artist. Absolutely believe. I don't believe for a second that this new persona is real. This is a person who creates an image she wants to come across. She did it with the CEO of Theranos, and now she's doing it as the mother lid. It's the same con artist.
It is using different tricks in order to get people to feel sorry for you and to try to get out of owning up for what you did.
Well, this was a play to stay out of jail in a lot of ways, I think. But Billy Evans is her husband. And Billy and the reporter talks to Billy, and it's like, you know, talking to her about the different, you know, how this person is so different. And of course, you know, this is her husband who's like, you know, it really defends this whole, you know, idea. She really is this person, dramatic difference. And of course, and ultimately, I think that he's fallen victim to the con just as much as anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
But now he's got two kids, wife in prison. So he'll be raising the two kids. He's got a lot. He's got 11 years to think about it. But yeah. No, the rebrand, the article that I put in here should basically been the rebranding of a Connor. That's how I feel about it.
Well, she's just, I don't even know what to say about that. This is just.
Well, I don't really care much about her rebranding, especially since it really did anything.
It's just interesting seeing how far she would go in order to stay out of.
I think everybody is like advised when they're like going into court or something to put on a certain look and try to put on a certain persona. Although, including babies in it, especially if you think she got pregnant for that purpose, that's a little bit much. But
I can't ultimately speak to those motives. She did get married to this guy. And the fact that they had, you know, wanted to have children is not surprising, but it's just the idea that she has this pending indictment over her, this trial, and she has the potential for her to go to jail. And if I was her lawyer, it would have been like, you realize that you probably should plead, but she didn't want to plead. The evidence against her was pretty strong, but I think that she was enough of a narcissist. I can't speak, right? I guess I haven't talked to her, but I suspect that she didn't think she was going to, is what I actually think that in all these plays, I thought she thought would help her. And they didn't ultimately. I think that she testified in court, and prior to them going into court, she had claimed that Sonny Belwan had sexually assaulted her. And it could very well be true, but the fact that it came out like months before the trial, and they had to separate the trial because they were supposed to be tried together, and so now they had to split them up and do two trials. Is tough pill to swallow, but some of the texts and stuff that you see going back and forth, I don't see it there, but it doesn't mean it wasn't happening. Very well, it could be true, but it threw a wrinkle in the prosecution as well, and so now they had to prosecute them separately. So there was that piece, but that piece they didn't let them bring that up in trial. which I think was for the best, right? I mean, to try to keep it to the facts at hand and not the personal right. situation, because I don't think, even if true, is a defense for what she did.
No.
You know, she was trying to implicate Sonny Balwani as being the mastermind of all of this. And when you look at the texts, you know, between the two of them and the rest of the evidence, you know, that came out, she looks like the mastermind. He looks like he helped, right? I mean, he wasn't innocent. He was part of this fraud as well. But I still think I do think she's a con artist, and it's hard to tell. And I think the rebranding is a symptom.
Yeah.
And it's a symptom of not wanting to go to jail.
But ultimately, I can't speak to her character. I don't actually know. You know, this is all my opinion.
What hurts is when, like, frauds like this gain legitimacy and actually hurt people, like you were saying.
There were actual people that were in by this product. And unfortunately, they couldn't prosecute. None of that was successful at prosecuting, right? They weren't able to show, they weren't able to get her on any of those charges. And to me, yeah, a lot of rich people lost some money. And it probably hurt those companies in ways, and it hurt some individuals. But ultimately, the people that got bad blood tests are the people that were really injured by this. More so, I feel, than Safeway, who lost milk. I get it. But you know, they're in a position to absorb those kinds of loss. Where an individual that thinks that they're about to have a miscarriage, to me, that's horrible.
It is. It's.
I'm glad they got her on something. I just feel like I just wish that it could have been with the damage she did to some of the people that were victimized by her failing product, which I think she knew didn't work.
Yep.
All right. Somebody got something more uplifting to talk about than me.
Uplifting.
What do we got down here, Dennis?
Well, neither of my things are particularly uplifting, but why don't we go to the video game voice actors?
All right. AI is going to replace them all, huh?
And,
yes. That's the big fear, and this goes into other fields, too. I understand writers are very concerned because, let me first get to the title of this article. It's that video game voice actors say that AI has put their jobs on the chopping block. That's the publisher, the headline writer. I'm not sure about on the chopping block, but it's definitely concerning that they're able to do a good job of replicating people's voices these days. Whether they can get as good a performance or not is down to some question. But companies, and this is true of writers with ChatGPT and such, basically want to, like, get these things made with as little money as possible, so that, like, with ChatGPT, they want to, like, write an entire thing and hire human writers only to go over it and make adjustments where necessary, where the AI has made it weird or whatever, and pay them a lot less money for it. And same thing here, because there are tools out there to generate AI voices, and if you work on them, you can get them to show certain emotion thing, and that technology is better and better. And you can even replicate certain people's voices and get a totally AI performance of them on video games. And that's one thing where, especially for video games who are already using a lot of AI, where it was kind of natural for a money-saving company to be like, you know what, we can save a lot of time and money just getting this all done by AI.
So it does make me wonder, you know, because the people like Mark Hamill, and he does voices for cartoons, and I think he's on video games as well.
Yes.
Is he enough of a draw that by having him do a voice in a video game that people will gravitate towards that video game?
Considering how good he does his voice acting, yeah.
Okay. So if I can reproduce Mark Hamill with an AI, and I don't need Mark Hamill anymore, does it take away a marketing piece
voice,
for them?
But can you... The thing is that it takes a lot to set up for one specific person. Yeah, and you still have to have someone doing the acting half the time.
Yeah.
Because
you need
a cadence to it.
Yeah. Voice generators are getting better, and they can, like, put in emotion and stuff like that. My understanding is it still takes a bit of work in order to get it just right. Somebody fiddling with the levels and stuff, but you can get like a very like human sounding performance. Whether you can get something that would carry it throughout an entire game or movie is questionable, and yet to be. I think you'd still probably get a better deal hiring real actors, but you know, like if you want, there's like low people trying to put out like low cost ways of doing things. Like And you, to be fair, like, you could do this before. There are people who are, like, professional, like, voice mimics that who will do, like, really good impressions and will be brought in for things in order to do, like, the exact character, but it'll be like a similar character with a similar voice to a main thing that's kind of copying it, and you notice it, you know.
Yeah, I was trying. I was thinking. There's a guy who does Morgan, an IT pro team has hired him to, you know, to say you're listening. It sounds like Morgan Freeman, but it's not. It's this imitation.
Exactly.
Yeah, imitators have done stuff like that for a long time. So it's
This will just kind of make it easier to do that. And, you know, I kind of want to see a day where, like, everybody is able to do things like that. Like a person could make their own movie, and, like, depending on, like, how much effort they put into it will determine, like, how good it comes out. Cause, like, you could make something, like, really generic, and it will, like, just be like, yeah, who cares? But you could, like, specifically pick out, like, what voices you want and what kind of performance, and fiddle with every step of the way, performance and levels and stuff like that. I'd like to see where like that can be done. It doesn't take a huge studio to do that, and the powers of the big studios to control the destiny of anybody who wants to put out that kind of content will be greatly diminished.
Yeah, but then
more a fact that you don't need the high you don't need John Candy, or you don't need someone else specific to be that character. You just have to have someone who can read the lines and have the proper cadence.
So here I've got a I don't know. Did we talk about this? Maybe we did. Ukraine company to provide AI generated Darth Vader voice for Disney. So in the Ukraine, and I've seen a demonstration of this where the guy is talking in a video and the overlaying different, he's talking about, this is my real voice, and then they play another voice. And
famously, James Earl Jones gave his permission for that for future Star Wars things, right?
Exactly. So but with James Earl Jones, you have a wealth of content, right? Because he's done so much acting and voice work that you can compile all of that for him, and they might have even still had him come in and read some stuff for them, right? But yeah, so he's given over it. He's signed over his voice, and I imagine for a fee, right? Because this is James Earl Jones. No, nobody's going to give, you know, nobody's going to pay for my voice, but for an iconic voice like that, they will pay for it. Ultimately, does that save them money? Probably.
It does, because they can use one or two or however many different clips, have it put together.
Sure.
And use it for a multiplicity.
But I guess my point is, it may not be cheaper yet.
Right.
No,
but, you know,
it's not
yet. I'd like to see a day when people can put together their own thing and use a James Earl Jones voice for something or other in their personal projects. And, like, of course, they'll say, like, it's generated and all that. And I think there will be an element of, like, actual human performances that people will be able to put together, like, get together with your friends and stuff. And, like, I'm sure that'll mean that there will be lots and lots of garbage out there, but I think, like, the really good ones will, like, rise to the top. And, like, I think a lot of it will be indie stuff rather than the big studios, and I'd like to see that happening.
The big studios have already got issues where, like, the people who do the computer-generated CGI effects don't have a union.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that creates, you know, those people are not at work, and we see a lot of, you would see, and but people who do, like, stunt work and visual effects, they do have a union. And so I think sometimes where you, instead of using a physical effect CG, it ends up being cheaper.
Yep.
Right, but where the visual effect would look better, but those people have a union, and so there's some union busting there as well. And
I think it's also a thing, like a cultural thing, that we don't value voice actors and stuff as much,
and that's unfortunate
regarding this.
I mean, the video game industry makes more money than the, there's more money there. And so, I mean, but they've also got a lot, I mean, it's a lot of coding and a lot of building visual effects, and, you know, so it's different work, but ultimately they're creating an entertainment product that is bringing in more money than.
Yep.
And so and if they're looking to make a buck on top of that, I think it's an area where it's easier to use an AI voice for a video game, because you're there, but does Mark Hamill add to your enjoyment in a video game as much as he does as the, maybe not.
Well, Mark Hamill is the one who plays the Joker, so
Yeah, I mean, Mark Hamill, I'm using him as a foil here, but I just don't know if in a video game if it affects me as much as it does, you know, series of some of, you know, for something. I don't know.
That's a good question.
I really can't say.
Okay.
Somebody who plays more video games than me would have to have, and those kinds of games where he's doing voices. I'm sure he's doing some.
Yeah, but there's definitely, when you're looking for a person to do voice acting, you're looking for someone who can get the sound of the original person correct. Like, who was it? That was Rich Little used to do that all the time. Everything about the person he was pretending to be and doing their voice and everything. He had all the actions and everything.
Yeah, and some people are better than others. Have you watched the anime Bleach?
I have seen only a little bit of Bleach,
okay.
But
so Ichigo is the main character, and the guy who does the dub for he every time I hear him, I'm like, hey, that's the guy who does Ichigo's voice. He does, and he's doing voice acting all over the place. But yep. His voice is always recognizable enough to me where I go, that's Ichigo, right? Anywhere I hear him, that's Ichigo, because that's where I heard him first. It wasn't his first anime that he did, I'm sure, but that's where I heard him first. That's what I recognize him from. And I think there are other people who are maybe do more. I mean, definitely he does different voices, but they're always recognizable to me. He doesn't have a huge range, but there are people who have huge range where it's like, wait, that's the same guy that did this, did that as well? Yeah, he just did a different voice. Yeah, and you know.
Yeah. Like for the ones who did Simpsons characters, they did multiple characters. And did you know that the main people who played, who did like...
Did I lose
you? I'm still here. I think she must have dropped.
Sorry, I accidentally hit that.
That was good. I was wondering if I draw for a second.
Just me. But what I was saying is that these people who played in, who did the voice acting for The Simpsons, also played in a series called Herman's Head.
Okay, yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was, and that little lady in that show was the one who did Lisa.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Lisa is what's her name?
Lisa Simpson.
Oh, the one. Yeah. Wait. Oh no, I was thinking Family Guy. I was thinking Seth MacFarlane. Because he does tons of voices, right? And on that show, he does half the, like, he does Brian, he does Stewie, he does a few other. But yeah, I mean, there's a guy who does a lot of different voices.
Yeah. And I saw a thing with a convention which had some the voice actors from animation. And the one guy said all he wanted to be from the time he was a kid was Porky Pig. And
okay.
He worked at it and he got the job.
That's wow. Okay.
After, yeah. So he does an awful lot of those guys now.
The guys from Looney Tunes, there's another guy. And of course, the guy is also in a band. He would talk about how he would do a voice. He says, okay, how I got to this kid. And then I hit it with the helium. And so now he's got this totally different voice. He was amazing at the way he developed the different voices. So it really is an art. And it would, I guess, ultimately, to get back to the article, because we've really trailed off here, it would be sad to see that art go away in favor of AI. But...
They would still have to have someone who has the capabilities to do the voices. Well, not do the specific voices, but do the cadence and such.
Yeah.
Or set it up properly. Just the same as you do with animation, where you have a person has to set up the different key images properly for everything to go in between.
Even like that software from the UK company, there was somebody else speaking, and the voice, there was an overlay over their voice. So there was still somebody doing the performance, they just changed his voice.
Well, if you look, if you've ever seen, there is on, not America's Got Talent, but Britain's Got Talent.
Okay.
They had a set of guys come in with computer stuff, and they had made a form, a computerized form, something like the pictures that both myself and Sean comes up, Shane, anyway, we come up with. And they were just singing directly, music directly, using the faces of the judges. And it was extraordinarily done. They did, they had one of Elvis Presley and such. And it's not that hard to do, but there's still a certain amount that you need for the actual person setting it up to do before it can do anything else. But looking up on Britain's Got Talent.
Well, now that we've hijacked your piece, dumbass, you got anything to add?
Not too much, I guess. Do we want to go to the last article or end it there?
Okay. My OnlyFans one is not quick, so yeah, go ahead. Let's do your last article.
All right. Yeah, it's pretty quick. Basically, let's all giggle together. Scientists identify polar cyclone on Uranus. Uranus is the seventh planet from the sun. New observations are providing a fuller understanding of its atmosphere. They've detected a polar cyclone whose center measures a quarter of the Earth's diameter. Pretty spectacular on that scale. On its pull, and Uranus basically is on a tilt on its orbit, looking kind of like it's rolling around the sun a little bit, if you imagine that. Somebody grabbed Uranus and wrenched it out of place. They're still trying to figure out what happened.
Some of the theories is that it was hit by, by a big planet, or but it has instead of having a vertical axis, it has a horizontal axis.
Yeah, it is the third largest planet in our solar system, a diameter of about 50,700 kilometers, big enough to fit 6-3 Earths inside of it.
That is big, quite big.
Yeah, the observation was made by the Very Large Array Telescope in New Mexico.
Which is the telescope that went down lately?
What do you mean went down?
Well, there was one. A big telescope that was hanging up from.
Oh, was that something about it collapsed or something like the
Yeah.
Oh, that was one in Brazil, right? It's one from the James Bond movies.
Never mind. I'll find out. I'll find out for next time.
No, but I think that telescope went down. I think it was a few years, but it was an iconic telescope, and of course, it provided a lot of jobs, but. I think it was kind of unsavable with the way that put together. They had no way to repair it.
That's quite possible. They had a weird way of getting into it.
Well, most of the time you didn't have to get into the dish, right?
But yeah. Mm-hmm. In any case, just a little update on some new stuff we're learning about Uranus, other stuff. Of course, Uranus has rings and 27 small moons. So it's quite a busy little planet.
Nice.
Arecibo Observatory in Puerto Rico. In Puerto Rico.
It was in Puerto Rico. Yep. Yeah, I just found it. Okay, yeah.
Yep. I remember from the James Bond movie, GoldenEye. Oh, it even says there, James Bond, GoldenEye, in the article that I found. Because I'm not the only one who remembers it that way.
lots of people would.
But yeah, telescopes are cool.
They are.
But radio astronomy and visual astronomy, astronomy.
Astronomy.
Yeah, astronomy. Not astronomy.
Astronomy.
Not astrology.
Not astrology.
Don't ever say that in front of my husband.
Astronomy.
It's getting harder to do because of all the satellites that we're putting up. They reflect light and it makes it harder every time one of those things goes up. Very cool. Well, anything else?
I don't think there's anything else.
No. Well, I think that's all we can kick.
Well, say goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
That's another one in the Ice Giant Polar Cyclone.
The Amateur Skeptics present Ian's Masturbation Moment, brought to you by the Dumbass Media Empire. The Dumbass Media Empire, bringing you content that touches people while they touch themselves.